Don't Bogart that joint. Pass it over to Josh Gordon. Who? He's the newest New England Patriots wide receiver, and the Patriots are certainly taking a chance on an all-pro player who hopefully won't drop the ball and blow this opportunity. Anyway, in studio, a special edition of Behind the Media is next, and former Patriots GM, longtime Boston media personality Upton Bell joins us in studio next on Behind the Media.
You're tuned in to Behind the Media. Dan Lothian and Jimmy Young bring 70 years of award-winning broadcast experience to the table. From newsrooms across the country, behind anchor desks, and in the field, they've seen and covered it all. And now they are here to take you behind the media.
You're going to have to embrace technology. If you're an educator...
Oh, I'm embracing it.
I want you to use the phone to help teach these kids.
You don't need to do that. I was covering the president in China, and we did a behind-the-scenes video. This is a gong.
A bong.
A bong.
With a B.
So, that's right. Did I say
the
gong?
The gong is a gong
show. That's right.
I said
gong.
Bong makes noise.
Bong.
Okay.
Why is it, Jimmy? Why?
Because sex sells, Dan!
True. But it's only part of the answer.
It is. You have to be more creative now to be able to tell a story, and sometimes it's just a before and after picture and say, which one do you want to be?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Behind the Media. I'm Jimmy Young, filling in for Dan Lothian, who is on assignment at WGBH for the next few weeks. This podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the CLNSmedia.com network. Engage, like, subscribe, and love us on social media. Just go to CLNSmedia.com and search Behind the Media. It's sponsored by Mack Weldon, a premium line of essential, comfortable, casual wear from underwear to overwear. But go to MackWeldon.com and use the code CLNSmedia to get an extra 20% off your first order. We're also brought to you by Little Park Media, where ideas come to life, producing corporate videos and podcasts to tell your story. Go online to littleparkmedia.com or contact us at info@littleparkmedia.com. Joining me in studio for this special edition of Behind the Media is a legend in the sports and media industries in the Boston area. His name is Upton Bell. My name is Jimmy Young. And Upton, you are not only still alive and kicking and talking, but your hair has not moved.
It hasn't moved, and it's colored beautifully. And that's the most important thing when you arrive at my point in life.
Well, arriving at any point in life at this point is an awesome thing, and I really appreciate you coming in and joining us on Behind the Media.
Well, you know what? It's great being here, and as you said, it's great being alive. And at my age, every day is a great day. So here we are.
And you know what's funny? Even at my age, every day is a great day, Upton. That's how I look at it. As long as you live to tell the story is my philosophy of life.
Well, and it's right. I know the subject we're going to attack today. Most football players.
Yes.
In my book, Present the Creation, My Life in the NFL and the Rise of America's Game, blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Is that the average life of a pro football player has not changed. My first training camp with the Chicago Bears, 1946. The average life of a player was 3.5 years. It's the same today. So I warn them the same as me.
Absolutely. And we will get into the NFL. We will get into the news, if you will, of the Patriots picking up Josh Gordon, which even though this is a live video recording, we will be making recorded podcasts out of this. Upton, can you believe the technology, by the way? I mean, you remember the days of film, slicing and dicing. And matter of fact, I know your dad remembers the early days of television, too, don't you? Because I read your book, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, I think the big thing, and Burt Bell more than anybody, I know Pete Rozelle, who came along after he died, got the credit for it, but Burt Bell was the first one to see the television was the game of the future. In fact, the first televised game in NFL history was of his Philadelphia Eagles in the 30s. The first national TV game was in a snowstorm in 1948. I was there for that. Eagles and Cardinals, nationally televised. He said, it is the perfect game for television. You get your commercials in. There's a little lull in the action, but there is action on every play. He saw the future, and of course, look at it today.
And in fact, in the book, and that was one of the things I really enjoyed. First of all, I was a history major at Tufts University, so any historical perspective is something I really devour. And I also apologize, it took me a few months to read the book because I read so slowly because I pretend I am reading it aloud. It's just how my brain works. And I'm just happy to have a brain that works at this point, right? Anyway.
Well, just ask the president.
That's... We don't mention his name. We call him POTUS. Okay. Anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about the book and your dad, Burt Bell, because he was a visionary. He started the draft. He knew about how important television was going to be. He spouted the importance of parody. He started the draft. I mean, Upton, your dad created the beginning of what is the most successful sports league in America.
Well, the interesting thing is, too, if people are willing to go back in history, is that basically he's the only commissioner that played football, coached football with John Heisman of the Heisman Trophy, owned two football teams, and then became commissioner. If ever a person, and people talk about the great presidents that prepared themselves, Franklin Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, Burt Bell was the most prepared person that took over in a very, very bad time for the NFL in the history of sports. The reason is that he understood the game from a player's, coach's, owner's standpoint. And he also understood, because his teams never made any money, in fact, they lost gobs of money, that he understood, he used to say, you're only as strong as your weakest team. His picture of the game, his look at the future, in fact, Jimmy, if you go in today to the NFL Constitution and Bylaws, which is now a million pages,
it's not on my bucket list to go check out. But go ahead. If I were to do it, yes, what would I find?
Well, you'd end up on the bucket list. Everywhere Burt Bell is writ large, his name isn't there. But what he did is, when he took over in 1946, his brother, who was the governor and also lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, then became the Chief Justice Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, one of the great, really, legal minds, wrote much of the NFL Constitution and bylaws, including the one thing that all commissioners in the NFL relied on. He had written in and protected, the commissioner shall rule in the best interests of pro football. That's still there, in spite of the Players Association and all the things that are going on. If you go in there, the waiver wire was created by Burt Bell because of the gambling scandal. He wanted to protect the players and the public.
And the integrity of competition, obviously.
Absolutely. Yep. That's in there. The chance for the weakest teams to get the players the first choice on the waiver wire. Also, Burt Bell stopped the league from closing in 1941-42, when we first went to war, there was a motion. Now, remember, there were only seven or eight owners at the time. Mm-hmm. Let's close it down, and we'll be able to come back. And he said, listen, there is a new league on the horizon, which turned out to be the old All-America Conference. Otto Graham, the great Cleveland Browns, the 49ers. He said, if we close, we will never open up again. If they had closed, we wouldn't be talking about this today. Everywhere he went along. A lot of people don't know this, and Peter King, a Sports Illustrated, wrote about it 2 years ago. Burt Bell said, let's get rid of the extra point. The only thing, 1942.
I like kickers, by the way. I'm a soccer guy. You know that. So yeah. I don't want to get rid of the extra point, but keep going.
Well, he said the field goal will become more important.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The touchdown will be 7 points. And look at it now. They're going to move it all the way down to your own 20-yard line.
Right.
The opposing 20-yard line, just to make it look like it's good. Get the hell rid of it. You go for 2 points. You get the touchdown. You have the field goal. The kicker becomes more important. He was for that rule. But the most important thing that he did, which changed pro football forever, was he said, what happens? Now, this is why all of these things today, they have these complex reasons for everything. But here's the simple reason of what I thought, even though he is my father, a very brilliant man. He said, what happens? And in those days, the winner of the championship in the NFL played in the Chicago All-Star Game, which was actually bigger than anything. Arch Ward of the Chicago Tribune had created the baseball All-Star Game. He created the All-Star Game between the NFL and the the All-Stars, who in those days were usually better than the NFL teams. So my father said, what happens if a game ends up in a tie? What are we going to do? Flip a coin and say, this team goes on a flip of a coin, we'll look like frauds. So he pushed a rule through and said, when a championship game ends up in a tie, we will have a 15-minute overtime or play with sudden death. And I don't like that rule change.
Sudden victory.
They say it's sudden, but it was sudden death. So what happened? 10 years after he put it in, when everybody laughed at him.
I know where you're going. The greatest game ever played.
And there was Upton Bell sitting next to Joe DiMaggio at Yankee Stadium at the age of 19.
Wow.
And the only reason I went to the game, because I used to go to all the championship games with my father. He called me. He said, are you coming to this damn game or not? I've got to make arrangements. He was in New York. I was in Philadelphia. I said, is Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe going to be there? He said, well, I don't know about her, but he's going to be there. That's the only reason I went and saw the greatest game of its time and the game that saved the NFL and made it the game it is today.
Indeed. And Upton, you have so many stories. And this is why the book was so intriguing to me. You know, the title of it, I think, says it all. You know, you were present at the creation not only of the NFL, but you were also around for the World Football League, the U.S. Football League. You actually were involved in naming the Patriots. Instead of Boston Bay State, you got them to be New England Patriots. And how about that? Was 1971, too?
71, but Jimmy, you're in the entertainment business. The first week I
Am
got...
I?
Yeah, absolutely. This is
entertainment.
The future.
Okay, no,
this
you
is
are.
This is showbiz.
Podcast, yes.
So indeed. 1971, I come in as a Patriots general manager from the Colts. We had just won the Super Bowl. And I pick up the Boston Globe. And I know they were kind of the laughing stock then. A lot of people today from 2000 to 2018 think there was no pass. But the pass was pretty gaudy. So I pick up the Boston Globe and it has headline. BS Patriots to move to Foxborough. Now, people were making fun of them and Billy Sullivan right and left. BS, Billy Sullivan. BS, the other word. And I said, oh, my God, they are going to be making fun of us. So I immediately called. And in those days, there was a board of directors. There wasn't one owner like Bob Kraft. In those days, you had to make 32 calls. But Sullivan was the president, and you had the Mars and the Sergeants. So I called and I said, listen, we're moving to Foxborough. We're going to be in the middle of New England. There's six states. Let's see if we can draw some people. Let's call it the New England Patriots. I had to force it through the board of directors, if you can believe it, to get it done. But they finally did it. And that's how it ended up being named the New England Patriots.
I love that. And I think that's something that will always be part of your legacy, Upton. That's a huge thing, especially now when you look at the success of the team and having the Crafts as the owners. And by the way, back in the day in the 70s, and I'm not going to, you know, date you, but I can.
Well, you can date me all
I
you
grew
want.
Up. I grew up in Newton, Massachusetts. We used to go to all the Boston Patriots games at Harvard Stadium, at BU, at Fenway Park. I remember them serenading Mike Holovac on the sidelines one day at a game. And you know, when you're a young kid, you just think this is the coolest thing ever. When you came in as general manager, there was an immediate uptick in the improvement, the play of the Patriots, because you had a scouting background. You were involved with player personnel as the youngest general manager. I remember the impact you had on that team. So I want to give you credit for that. I also want to tell you that back in that day in the 70s, I used to board a bus at the parking lot in Newton Center.
And did you ever get home?
Never got home. I was at sports, man. It was always about sports. And they had a bus, right. It took us forever to get there. But it was a big bus. There were some very important people on that bus, including the Crafts, who used to take the bus
right
down to Foxborough. You know, they parked the car in Newton Center, get on the bus with the Star family and myself. That's Star double R. I don't want to confuse some of my friends and family out there. But bottom line is, they were fans first. I hung out with that family a little bit as a kid, not knowing, you know, 15 years later, 20 years later, I'd be there when he announced his ownership of the franchise at that press conference in Newton as a professional sportscaster in Boston, which was my career goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Crafts have always been around football. They've been big sports fans. They've done a great job. And I'm just going to make a special little plug here for Cincy Magazine, which is a new magazine. I wrote an open letter to Robert Kraft in this month's edition of Cincy Magazine, urging him to take the lead amongst his owners in getting rid of opioids and not testing and embracing cannabis and CBD as alternatives to putting these guys on Vicodin and Percocet. And he has not responded yet, but I want to go on record as saying I actually did that because I believe in it.
Well, you know, I think he will, and it's pretty interesting that my first training camp, I mean, when my father owned the Eagles, I was 4 or 5 years old, but we lived in the same house with 33 football players. We lived in a hotel first. I was born, lived in a hotel, the Ritz-Carlton, which his grandfather...
It wasn't the Super 8 back then, I just want to say.
No, it wasn't. In fact, it's still there on Broad Street, and his father was the richest landowner in Philadelphia. So where does Burt Bell take his 33 players when his father has cut him off after lending him $200,000? We live at the Ritz.
Only the best.
And then we live at all these different houses on the main line. But, you know, my babysitters made an extra $5 a week to babysit me. And I still have one of the checks on it. But back to the Patriots situation and what essentially happened here. And I give Kraft a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. But 1946, my first official at the age of 9 Bears training camp. And if people today think the game is brutal, the players are bigger, quicker, faster than they've ever been.
Right.
But the game then, Tom Brady could have taken, slept on all his pillows and taken all that crap he's taking from his rent-a-trainer. But he wouldn't have lasted.
His name's Alex Guerrero. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going. Yeah.
The game was so brutal.
Yeah.
My first training camp with the Bears, Rensselaer Training Camp, guys were getting laid out, and the injuries factor was really terrible. I do buy the idea because I've seen a lot of things happen. The syringes taken at halftime.
Yep.
The painkillers that have made some of these people cripple later on in life.
Taking years off their lives.
I have no problem with marijuana being taken judiciously to deal with the pain, and some of the new things are coming out with it. I'm very much with that.
That's awesome, and I appreciate that. And we call it cannabis now, by the way. We don't try to mention that M word, but we don't need to go there. You have been listening to Behind the Media with Jimmy Young. I've been filling in for Dan Lothian, who is on assignment at WGBH for the past week. This podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the clnsmedia.com network. Engage, like, subscribe, and please love us on social media. You can also remember that this program is helped by a sponsorship courtesy of Mack Weldon. It's a premium line of essential, comfortable, casual wear, from underwear to overwear. But go to MackWeldon.com and use the code CLNSMedia to get an extra 20% off your order. For Upton Bell, my director, Steve Helmuth, our new executive producer, Joyce Gerber, I'm Jimmy Young. We'll see you next time on Behind the Media. And now you know what goes on behind the media.
I love it.
Woof.
I love it.
How long, Steve?